Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for all these men that came this morning. And Father, I just ask that you would speak through me, Father, that I would remove myself and all these thoughts that I have going on in my mind. Lord, I pray that they would be filtered out. You would filter them out so that only what you want to say would remain, Lord, and I would just be faithful to present that to my brothers this morning. There's nothing that I can tell them that would benefit them, Lord. I know that it all comes from you. And Lord, I just pray that we would have that heart to receive it. Lord, we would have the ears to hear it. And just so thankful for your foundation that we can stand on, Lord, as the winds come. Father, I pray that we would seek to just build on you in everything that we do. Because we know, if we do it on our own, Lord, we build on this sand, it's not going to stand. It's not going to last. And Lord, as we talk a little bit about addiction ministry, I pray that you would just bring to remembrance all the things that you've been pouring into me over the past year. And that, Lord, we could play a part in your plan. That we could fish for souls. We could save, help point people to you. And because drugs are taking over, Lord, you know that. And you've put this very, very strong desire in me that I can't contain it, Lord. I can't stop thinking about it. And Lord, I just want to be used by you, and I pray the same for these men here. I believe that you have a purpose and a plan for every one of them. And sometimes we just get a little bit comfortable. We get a little bit stagnant and just, we need to be stretched. We need to be tested, Lord, and I believe that that's what you do. You test us, and Father, I pray that we would make you proud and just ask that you would be here with us this morning, as I know you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm not much of a morning person, so forgive me. I'll wake up here in a second. But I'm really excited. The Lord's been working in my life a lot lately, specifically the addiction ministry going on. Pastor Brian, we had a little conversation probably roughly a year ago. And I think he was just being faithful. And he just threw something out like, be praying about an addiction meeting or something, ministry. So I didn't really think much about it, but, the Lord has a way of working where he uses us to speak to each other. He uses Brian, he can use me, he can use any one of you. And we have to be listening. And he'll confirm it. He continues to confirm it. And that's what can give you confidence that it's from the Lord. There's a lot of things in life where we're uncertain about. And you just want that confirmation. You want that certainty that that is the way that the Lord would have you to go. And I am confident that he has called me to this. And it's pretty overwhelming. It was very overwhelming at first. And we've been meeting here every Monday night at 7 o'clock to pray, just to pray about whatever comes to our minds and our hearts, whatever's, he wants to hear us. He wants to hear us pray to him. And there's a process. Just doing that, just praying, there was things in our lives, in our hearts, those that had been coming, that were coming forth that needed to be removed, that needed to be brought to light. Hardness, bitterness, fear, all these things. They were being brought to the light. He was showing us that in order to get this addiction ministry going, he had things that he had to show us, to reveal to us first, to remove, that needed to be removed, that needed to be dealt with. And that's a hard thing, just doing that. Who would have thought just getting here and praying for other people that the Lord would, in return, would be showing me and showing some of the other men that have been coming, there's things that we need to work on too. He's preparing us for what's ahead. I don't know what lies ahead of this addiction ministry. It's a messy ministry. It's going to be wild, right? But to know that the Lord he's already gone ahead. He already knows. I just have to follow him. We just have to follow him together. I need your guys' support. We need as much prayer as we can get. And Matthew 7, Just a little quick section here that I believe Brian taught on recently, and I also heard at one of my friend Toby Mills' wedding. And it has different applications, but for me, it spoke to me in regards to the addiction ministry. And Matthew 7:24 reads, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." And we know that the rock is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So that I heard that at my wedding when I told my wife that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. The pastor at the time that had been pouring into us told me that as far as marriage goes, you can either try to do it on your own or you can build on Jesus Christ as the rock, as the example, as the guide, as our helper. Okay, so in that context, that spoke volumes to me. And I can say 7 years being 7 years married to my wife, that if it wasn't for that, we would have not been together still, if we didn't build on Jesus, if we didn't turn to him when things got crazy, because they do, right? So now God's speaking it to me again. I can't say for 100%. Did you teach on this recently, Brian? Yeah. It's probably been a month or so, maybe a little bit longer, a couple months. And then so I hear it again at a wedding in regards to how I heard it the first time in my wedding. But this time, I believe the Lord spoke to me about the addiction ministry, okay? When I first started getting into the addiction ministry, there was lots of things that I wanted to do, how I wanted to run it, who I wanted to run it with, right? All these perceived notions of mine. And the Lord's telling me it's him. It's going to be completely him, and it's going to be built on him. Because if it's not built on him, if I try to do it my way, with my methods, my whatever, me, it's not going to last. I'll get burned out. But he's the living water. We can continue to go back to him over and over and over again as the main source. So I need to humble myself. And the Lord has a way of doing that. And he's brought support. You know, I would love to see more people rise up. I would love to see him call more of you guys and even more people in the body to support the ministry. I know that you guys are praying, I've heard, from you guys, yourselves, but this is a pretty big thing, you know. I have some statistics that I'll run off here a little bit in the end, but I want to get to the main portion here, and these are the verses. So with the Lord is our rock, our foundation, and building on him, he used that for this addiction ministry to tell me to build it on him, okay? Everything we do, we're going to go to him. We're going to seek wisdom. We're going to pray about it. But the verses that kept jumping out to me were Romans, and we're going to do a lot of, you know, bouncing around, because this is just a collective of you know, over the past few months of things that he's been speaking. And I tried my best with the amount of time that I had to just trying to get it somewhat lined up to how it, you know, how it kind of came to me. But Romans 12:2, you know, you guys have heard this one before. I'm going to read 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So in regards to this ministry, this addiction ministry, I have to present myself as a living sacrifice. You know, all my wants and desires and who I want and how I want to do it, I need to surrender that to him. Because it's not Daniel Finnemore that's going to be able to reach these people that are addicted. It's going to be God and through his word and his son and his promises. That is going to be ultimately what is going to draw them in. His Holy Spirit is going to draw them in. I don't need to stress out about how people are going to come here, because he's going to do it. He's going to work through us. We're going to be obedient, and we're going to, you know, pray and bring people in. But in order to do that, we have to put ourselves down. We have to crawl back onto the altar and realize that we're in his hands. We're his workmanship. We're his vessels. He's going to pour into us. He's going to use us. And in that, you know, that's acceptable to God. We have to remove ourself, remove our filth, and he'll show that to us. As I mentioned earlier, he's been revealing things to us. And this is the big verse here that is going to be hopefully going to be a frequent one when we start here soon. Verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Conform to this world. I'm not going to dive into this for you guys, because I believe that you guys understand, you know, having are now believers, you understand what it was like to be conformed to the world. And I think it still can happen as we, you know, if we drift from God. I think that in the pull that this world has, we can be conformed to it. Okay, but we were once all conformed to this world. We were going with the current of the world, the broad road of destruction. But God tells us to be transformed, and it's by the renewing of your mind. You know, as we speak to those that have struggled with, you know, drugs and alcohol, you can just, if you guys have had any experience in your life, whether you personally or you know a friend or a family member, it messes your mind up. Your mind is just all over the place. You don't have that clear thought. Your mind hasn't been renewed. So the Lord tells us that I believe he will renew our minds, and it's so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. God has a plan. I talked about it. He has a plan. He has a purpose. We know that, right? His will. He's either going to say your will be done, or we're going to say your will be done, Lord, right? So he has the perfect will. And I believe in order for us to go alongside and be in his will, we need to do the living. We need to submit. We need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not being conformed to this world, but transforming, renewing of your mind. So that's one little section that the Lord has been speaking to me about this addiction ministry, and that's going to be one of the core couple verses there. The other couple verses that have been something that I think can help build the foundation. Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Because you just said something. You said, we got to do this. You know, and when you look at the last section of that verse, it says that you may prove what's good and acceptable. We can tell people things, and you've all had that response, well, prove it.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is how they're
doing. Yep, and in my life, I saw other people doing that, and exactly what you said, I saw it being done. I had read it, but I had never seen it being done, so it was all just kind of words in a book. But then, like you said, when you see it being done, and so when these people come to this addiction meeting, and they've never seen it being done before, they've seen a lot of other crazy things being done. I believe once they, go ahead. Yeah, they may not even get a whole lot out of me speaking it to them, because they could be using at the time, and their minds are just not there. Sometimes I think we all have different ways of learning. Yes, I believe that the Word of God is the foundation, that is the source that we draw to, right? But also, as he mentioned, our lives too. I think that, you know, they're going to be seeing it. They're going to be seeing it lived out. And so that holds a great weight, a great responsibility, as we represent Christ, as we live by, you know, do this by example. It's difficult, as you guys know, on a daily basis. And so the next section, because I got a lot more here to go, and I want to try to go through it relatively quick. 1 Peter 5. And the verses are 8 and 9, but I'm going to read 6 through 11 for us this morning, because they're They're awesome. And so 1 Peter 5:6 reads, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." And I'm going to stop right there. This next part's a little hard to talk about. I don't really consider myself to be a prideful person, but I think that in the root of all of us, we have that pride. And it could take different forms and whatnot. But as far as the addiction ministry goes, I felt unqualified. You know, I don't have a real deep background in addiction. You know, I smoked some weed when I was 11 years old because I wanted to be like my brother. I drank some beers with him when I was like 12 years old. You know, I started hanging around with his friends. We started snorting some pills. And then the Lord caught me, you know, because I thought I could run from him and hide from him. And he used people in my life. And, you know, he rescued me before I got further into that destructive lifestyle that I was headed in. No doubt I was headed in it. I wanted to be just like my brother Joseph, my middle brother. I just had a conversation with my brother last night, and he's talking about committing suicide again. Okay? He overdosed last year. He's been in jail multiple times. But I truly believe that God has a plan and a purpose for his life, and he can be redeemed. He can be renewed. He can have that renewing of his mind. And we have conversations often about it, okay? So I don't necessarily feel qualified, but I think I understand somewhat, you know, having been, you know, my brother Joseph has been addicted to opiates and a whole bunch of other things his whole life, and having been there a lot through it with him, having to get phone calls saying that he's overdosed again and going through the emotions, that's part of the crazy process, and who knows what's going to come here, you know. So feeling inadequate, feeling not really necessarily, you know, having a deep background in addictions, there was a little bit of pride there because, and let me see if I can explain this to you guys and that it would make sense. Prior to going to the men's conference, the pastor's conference, it was the Lord revealed to me that by me saying that I'm incapable and unworthy, that's good, right? I think that's a place where we all need to be to understand that he doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He already has it all planned out. Because he loves us as his sons and daughters, he wants to use us. And so my pride was in that I was so unworthy and incapable and unable to do this. I'll just do it because, you know, I think the Lord's called me to it at the time. But really, I need to have humility because he's capable of doing anything, right? So I wasn't really necessarily, I was having some of my own pride in a sense where, you know, well, you know, I was able to acknowledge that I was not really capable of doing it. But I didn't fully understand God's capability, his power, his, you know, He doesn't equip the called, He doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. Is that right? I think that's right. I have it written down here somewhere. I was hoping just to remember it. And so it's just a continual thing where he's so loving and gracious that he continues to remind me, Daniel, that, you know, I'm able to do all things. And that requires me to have faith, and that's hard to say. We could talk about having faith, you know, have a faith, take a step of faith. We can say that, but then when it actually gets tested, when you actually get an opportunity, right, to prove to him what is good and acceptable, his will in my life, it is difficult to do. And so the Lord humbles and lovingly, graciously, he just continues to remind and that we can cast all our care upon him. You know, because he cares for you. How promising is that going to be to somebody that has destroyed their life by a series of bad decisions, by, you know, substances, by false promises? You know, they've been burned, they've been lied to, but in the same sense, they're going and doing the same thing. Maybe they had a crazy upbringing, well, most of them have, to know that you can cast everything on him There can be a weight lifted, a burden lifted, and that he cares for you specifically. I think that that's going to be a huge, exciting, does that not excite you guys? Like, that's a hope that they need. We all need that hope. They're no, the addicts are no different. I mean, I could go on and on. We could go on and on about talking about that, but let's just say it's sin, right? It's sin. Say it, call it for what it is. In verse 8, this is going to be another one of the core scriptures, and I'm sharing with you guys just to enlighten, just to encourage, and hopefully, you know, that you guys would also come back with some awesome encouraging verses to share with me, with the addiction ministries, and just praying. And this one here is, be sober, be vigilant. And I had to look that word up. And some of the other definitions and synonyms I found were attentive, be awake, be observant, right? Kind of go hand in hand with being sober, having a clear mind. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I think that we had a meeting where we talked about that on Monday night, where the enemy, Satan, who hates us, right? He wants everyone to die. He wants to take as many people to hell as he can with him. He uses these drugs as a way of manipulation, as a way of deceitfulness and destruction. And that's what they do. They destroy everyone that uses them, and everyone that gets involved around them can get a negative effect. And you know, we need to have spiritual discernment, you know, because when I was, you know, doing whatever I was doing, I did not have God's Holy Spirit in me. I didn't have his spiritual discernment. So I wasn't aware of how the enemy was, you know, setting traps and using these drugs, these narcotics, all these substances to just further try to push you away from God and into the dark. So I don't want us to be ignorant. I don't want the people to come to be ignorant of the fact that there is good and evil, okay? There is God. There is Satan. God is much more powerful, and he's already defeated him. They need to call on Jesus. That was one of the things that I struggle with and I talk to my brother, right? And I ask him, I said, have you called on Jesus? Have you called on him? Call on him to help you, to give you power, to give you strength. Don't do it on your own. For some reason, I don't know why, but we always think that we can do it on our own. And maybe I'm just speaking for myself. But it's just that we need a constant reminder that we can't do it on our own strength. Verse 9, resist. Stand against is what it means. To stand against him, the devil. And how do we stand against him? Steadfast, meaning devoted, unwavering in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. I really truly believe that all things can work for the good of God, meaning he can bring, we all have different journeys in life, and some of us have experienced other things than others, and pain and certain sufferings and trials. I truly believe that through all of that, we can praise him, and we can grow through that and learn from our mistakes and to continue to press forward and to pursue him, to grow with him. I have a question here that I wrote down. It says, what in our life needs to die, to be sacrificed, in order to go further, deeper with the Lord? This is a question that was presented and challenged to me at the pastor's conference. And I just had this one word just blast me in the face, pride. Mine was just pride, 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 pride. And I spoke on a little bit of that already. James 4:7. These are all just, like I said, a collective of verses that are just great, supportive and informative verses that the Lord has given me for the addiction ministry and to show things in my life that he wants to remove. So James 4:7, therefore submit to God. Once again, so we're hearing, in these verses, we're hearing submit. We're hearing a living sacrifice. We're hearing humble humility. You see, there's a pattern here, right? And here we go again. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So it's, you know, you draw near to God, you call on his name, right? We do the things that he's asking us to do, and the devil will flee because Jesus Christ has already died on the cross. He's already paid for our sins, right? He's already defeated death. He's already defeated Satan. And so now we can call on his name to fight this war because we're in a spiritual war, guys. You know that. And we can't fight on our own strength. We need to call on his name. And we can draw near to him. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I was like, ow, that kind of hurt a little bit, right? But can't we all be kind of shallow and vain sometimes? You know, we can talk. We've been in church long enough that we kind of know the lingo, if you will. But, you know, as we draw near to God, that's when those, as I mentioned, that's when those impurities, those things that he wants to remove out of our life start becoming more and more evident, right? And so as I draw closer to him, I just realize, wow, I got a lot more, Lord, that I need you to remove out of me, to purify me, to refine. And, you know, I believe the same can go for those that are just wanting to seek him. You know, when we first started seeking the Lord, or when he first got a hold of us, there was a lot of things that needed to be removed, right? I could make a huge list of the things that needed to be removed from my life. And, you know, just not to think that we have it all figured out. It really all just kind of ties in with humility and submitting to the Lord. And, you know, when he does convict us, when we do have that conviction in our life, that we would listen to it, we would obey it. It says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. You know, repentance was a really hard thing for me to grasp a hold of. I think it is for all of us, you know, turning away from what we feel is natural. But we know that what is natural to the man is the way that leads to death. Right? Our natural selves, our flesh, the sinful desires that we have. Living sacrifice. Once again, we have to submit that to God. We have to give that to him. And it feels like an emotional roller coaster sometimes. It has in my life. But once again, in verse 10, we read, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. How encouraging and I love it because on one hand, you know, he's drilling us. He's you know, being very firm with what we need to do, right? He tells us that, you know, living for him is, you know, there's things that need to be done. We can't just say the prayer and that's it. We can't just settle there because that's what the enemy wants. He wants us just to stay and settle and be comfortable. And we have to be growing. We have to be putting on the armor. We have to be calling on our king to come fight the battle for us, to go ahead of us. And, you know, he says that, you know, to humble ourselves, he will lift us up. How opposite of that is the world that we live in? It's all about exalting yourself, right? But the Lord's going to humble those people. And if you want to tie that into addiction, you know, my brother was one of the coolest dudes that I knew at the time. I wanted to be just like him. He was popular. He had so-called friends, right? He was well-known around my city, but he was well-known for all the wrong reasons because he was a dealer, okay? And, you know, he had his short little period of time where maybe he felt exalted, but guess what? Right now he's getting humbled really bad, and the Lord is continuing to humble him. Because we can either build on the rock or we can be crushed by it. And that's one thing my old pastor Ken Graves used to always say. And it was just like, oh, that's so true, right? We can either build on the rock or we can be crushed by it. I don't know if those are the exact words, but it stood out. There's certain things that just stood out to me in my mind. And Matthew 23:11 through 12, I think it's Jesus addressing the Pharisees, and it's just to kind of play on the whole being humble. He says, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." You know, it wasn't last night at the VBS, but the night before, one of the things that Rosaire did with the children was that he talked to them briefly about how Jesus washed his disciples' feet as a servant, as a humble servant. Why would God, creator of the universe, come down in the form of man, and then, even further, go and wash somebody's feet? I can't say, other than my wife, I can't say that I've washed anyone else's feet before. But it's more of a picture that he's just willing, he's just that humble. He's willing to show us to lead by example, really, to live it out, because he's the living word. And so he says here, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, I do believe that there's a time when, you know, in heaven, we're going to have our reward. We're going to have, you know, for what we've done, what the Lord has called us to do, and our faithfulness and our obedience and furthering his kingdom. And we get to take that reward and give it right back to him, the rightful, reasonable service. A few more here. We got Ephesians 3:20 through 21. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." And this was kind of, you know, this was kind of a verse that, let's see, how do I say this? Well, it fell on the whole pride thing again. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, and it's according to the power that works in us. It's not our own power, it's his power that he's working in us. So again, just more confirmation, the Lord is able to do all things. You know, we need to call on him and allow him to work through us and not be so resistant and hard towards it. Or maybe it's fear. I don't know. Matthew 9:37. "And then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And once again, you know, Lord speaking to me about the addiction ministry. Well, I'll just say it. In 2016, 378 people in Maine died of an overdose. And so, even in our own community, those that, you know, have spent some time in Old Town, drive around the streets, and you can see that the drugs are taking over. And as the church, I believe that we're all called, you know, some, I may have a specific calling from the Lord, but that doesn't mean you guys you can't play a part either in supporting, whether it's just praying, could be numerous things, whatever he brings to your heart, brings to your mind. I don't even know, you know, I don't know what I don't have anything to offer. I'm just going to try to give them Jesus. I'm going to just try to go out and say, hey, you know, I don't know if you're struggling with any addictions or you know somebody, but, you know, we got something going on over here. And if you want to stop by, we're going to, you know, we got to do a little Bible study. We're going to pray and just see where it goes from there. Really. You know, because if you look at the whole thing in its entirety, it's pretty overwhelming. You know, because we don't really have a good place for them to detox. Because Andy just looked it up the other night. I think he said the heroin detox is somewhere between 5 and 10 days. And hearing from my brother before, having heard him going through detox, he said it was like the worst flu you've ever had times like 100. You know, that might be some exaggeration, but maybe not. I don't know. but it's bad. And they don't want to get sick. You know, who likes to get sick? If you knew that you were going to get the flu, or you could just keep using whatever substance, whatever thing that you had, and you didn't have to get the flu, go through all that sickness, you just keep going back to it. It's not even about the high anymore. It's just about not getting sick, not getting having to go through the detox. Easy way out. Haven't we all had things in our life where we took the easy way out, though? So we can relate in that sense. I'm sure we've all had something that we've been addicted to. You know, I just feel like, yes, the drugs and the alcohol have a very, very strong hold on these individuals. But if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed, right? So there is freedom. There is a way out. I went to a CDC or some kind of conference at Cross Point Church on Tuesday night this week. And Governor Paul LePage was there. Law enforcement were there. Chief Deputy, Bangor PD, Maine State Troopers, FDA, bunch of pastors. And just to sum it up, you know, for the most part, it was all kind of wishy-washy until, and I'm just going to say this, and it's not even favoritism, but until Ken Graves stood up and spoke. Because there were people during the conference that were saying, we don't know what to do. We don't have the answer. There was other individuals promoting a 12-step book and a higher power, just find your higher power. This was at this conference at Cross Point Church. And it was just kind of blew me, kind of caught both my wife and I off guard because we were going in there, I don't know, I guess we had certain perceptions of what it was going to be like, but there was a lot of confusion. And it, you know, even from the law enforcement, knowing that this is just, it's getting, they were having a hard time admitting it, but there was a couple of them that were able to be a little bit transparent, and they were saying that it's really out of their control in a sense. They're doing everything that they can with what they have. And I believe that they are doing a good job with what they have. But it's growing so fast, and it's such an epidemic that, you know, there needs to be treatment. There needs to be a program that they can go to if you're that far addicted to something. And you just, sometimes I feel like, you know, the Lord can remove you from that addiction. And so when Ken got up and spoke, you know, he just wanted to make it real clear that Jesus, you know, where we were in Cross Point Church, right? And he wanted to make it real clear that Jesus, the God of the Bible, is the answer. And it was just as simple as that. It's a simple message. And it's been proven, you know. The Alcoholics Anonymous and 12-step book, whatever you want to look at all the statistics, they had a statistic guy there running down all the numbers. You know, Ken would say something, and the guy would be like, da-da-da-da-da, he'd run down all the numbers. He was an economist, well-known economist or something. But 75% started out with pills, which were prescribed to them by their doctors. This is what the economist is saying. So, you know, you go to your doctors, you have your teeth pulled out, you have surgery, you have whatever it is. You know, maybe you just formulate something, you say there's something wrong with you, so that they at the time, the doctors were, you know, a little bit more loose when it came to writing prescriptions. Okay, so now you have a bunch of people that are on oxycodone, Vicodin, Oxycontin, hydrocodone, all those opiate addictive pharmaceuticals. Okay, and then, so this is LePage. Actually, I think LePage might have spoke on this. The pills were prescribed were cut by 50% in the state of Maine, which resulted in those that were addicted to them. I don't know if this is their necessary. They didn't really think of the outcome. But if you cut all those people, you know, you make it really hard for them to get their painkillers. You know, my brother has told me before that he can no longer get what he was normally getting for his pain because he was in a car accident, whatever. So maybe it was, you know, maybe it was legitimate at the time. You know, you were prescribed something for some pain you had, and now you're having a hard time getting off of them. And then the doctors say, well, sorry, your prescriptions ran out. We were only scheduled this much or whatever. So now these people still have that, you know, their body's still craving it, right? So what do they turn to if they can't get it from the doctors anymore? They turn to drugs on the streets, heroin as an alternative. It helps numb the pain. And a lot of the addicts that I'll talk to, and maybe you guys have talked to, a lot of it is about pain. They have pain in their life. Whether it's just they're just trying to numb some emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, whatever it seems like a lot of the things that come up are pain or some you know, and just trying to numb it, just trying to forget about it all. Is that it? That's the easy way out, right? Really, the easy way out is Jesus Christ, really. I mean, he's his scapegoat. He tells us we can call on his name and trust in him. Heroin addiction is being treated by other synthetically produced drugs such as Suboxone and Methadone. So, you know, if they don't want to go use heroin, they don't want to stick a needle in their arm, they can go to, you know, Acadia Hospital and get prescribed Methadone, which is, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it. I've worked with people that were, you know, had taken it. My brother's been on Methadone. My brother's been on Suboxone. So I have somewhat of an understanding of, you know, it's a supposedly a better alternative, but it's just as addictive. And they have just as hard time getting off of that. So the world just replaces one thing for another, right? So somewhere along the lines, I feel like I'm called to just present another alternative to them. Really, I think the only alternative. And just hopefully there would be even one. Andy and I have prayed that it would be just one out of this whole addiction ministry, however long it goes, hopefully as long as it's needed, that there would just be, even if there was just one that chose Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and living for him as their new fix, if you will. They don't have a whole lot more other than the harvest is plentiful. 2 Corinthians 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You know, I don't know about you guys. I assume all you guys want to be loyal to him, right? We're here Saturday morning at a men's breakfast. We're here because we want to hear from the Lord, right? We want to be loyal to him. We know that the more time as we draw closer to him, he's going to draw closer to us, right? We just read. And so we get together so that we can draw closer to him. And he's been speaking to me, and I'm very excited to share with you guys, because mainly because I just want you guys to be praying, really, because we need as much prayer as we can get, as much support as we can get. Yeah, came here just to visit ministry. We got with the teens, and we set it in our hearts to pray for going out and trying to witness to people, which can be pretty challenging. But if you set it in your heart and you just pray, Lord, please fill us up. And once again, it's the whole pride thing again. It's crazy how it all just keeps coming back to that. But I saw Billy James for the first time, I think. There was a homeless man out at the park right down the road here, a little inebriated. And you could just tell as we walked by, I think it was just the Lord just, I don't know, it was like a light over him or what, but it was just like, go talk to him. And so we went over there, and he wasn't a person of, you know, a high status. You know, it was like this guy, you could tell he was just low. He felt, you could just sense there was something low about his life. And we talked to him, and, you know, just a homeless, for one, is what we found out. That can definitely humble you. And bad breakup, bad relationship. And he was just lost, right? And I saw Billy James get down on his knee, grab his hand, take the Bible, and just speak the word and life into him. And you could see the guys, he just started tearing. Because it's our response to hearing the word of God. It can just break us. And it's a good brokenness. That's where I believe the true repentance comes from. And so, you know, just seeing that and praying for him, that really got me excited. Like, it's not that difficult. We make it more difficult than it needs to be. And, you know, hopefully we'll see that guy here someday. And then the last thing is another section of that Brian taught on recently. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it was the marriage feast. And at the end of that, it says, verse 9, Matthew 22:9, it says, therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. And the Lord spoke to me on that verse. He said, just go out into Old Town and speak to people, bring them in. You know, I don't necessarily have to go out there and slam Jesus down their throats, right? I'm going to invite them here. We're going to do a study. We're going to pray for them. We're going to listen. And if we have resources that we can give them, we'll do that. And we'll see what goes from there. We'll see what the Lord has to do from there, really. And I'm confident that his word's not going to return void. It hasn't in my life and in your guys' life as well. So, yeah. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Lord, I just give you this day, and Father, I'm so thankful. I mean, I believe that this was orchestrated by you, believe it or not. It wasn't something planned, that's for sure, and that's the best thing, Lord, is when we don't put all the planning into it. I think you can overplan things, and sometimes we just need to rely on you and your Holy Spirit, and it's challenging because we don't necessarily know always what is ahead. I believe that there's certain mysteries that you don't want to reveal to us, but on the other hand, there are things that you do reveal to us, Lord, and you have revealed to me that there's an addiction issue, not only in this country, but more specifically, something more tangible, I guess, is my community. I've moved here with my family. I searched over 30 houses, Lord, you know, and we tried so bad not to come back to Old Town. We didn't necessarily want to be here. But, you know, that was our will, and we realized that your will needs to be done. And the moment we realized that, there was peace, Lord. And I thank you for that peace, Father, and you've given it to me. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to my brothers here and give them peace about what you have them to do. You know, the work that there's more work that needs to be done. Father, we need to be doing your work, and just thank you so much that you would even consider using us, God. And pray that you would check our pride every day, and just continue to humble us, God, under your mighty hand. And we love you so much, Lord. I pray that these the words this morning were encouraging and as they have been to me, just reassuring that you're in this, God, and just thank you so much for this day. I pray that you would be with our family, our wives, and our children, as, you know, we're called to minister to them as well and to love them as you love your church, God. And so thank you so much for your grace. I just pray this in your precious name. Amen.